Blog Talk Radio.
Sound Health Options Show with Richard Talk To Me Guy and Sherry Edwards. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Richard, and good morning to all our listeners. We're happy to have you with you. Happy to be with you and have you with us, if I can say that straight. Richard and I do this show voluntarily because we want to help educate people about what's going on in the world, to share information, because we think that we can make a difference. And I kind of see that as a really selfish thing, that I think that I can make a difference in somebody's life. But our guest today, I think, is incredibly talented in how she's going to make changes in people's life. It's Patricia Ladara. She is a returning guest. She has a new book, and she's going to talk to us about the transition from life to the next dimension, a subject not often talked about in public. We have all of these euphemisms for words like passing over, and we're going to talk to her about some of those things. Her new book, Song of Sight, is about her helping people know about this life and the next and how to make that transition. She promises to bring us a look at death through different eyes. So if you have anybody in your family that's gone through this, if you've gone through the depressions of the person left behind, Patricia is going to enlighten us incredibly with her new book. We are not simultaneously broadcasting. Actually, we've decided not to do that anymore. You can join the chat over in Blog Talk Radio with Richard, and you can join in by calling on your phone, 347-850-1407, or you can go to our website, soundhealthoptions.com, go to the radio tab, and the link is there. Our sponsor, the Sound Health Institute of Bioacoustic Biology, a registered 501c3 nonprofit. And we are going to be sponsored today by our computer program, Neuroplasticity, the mind's ability to bend and do new things. And we will probably be doing that on our Guardian program and providing that neuroplasticity software to the people signed up. We do have a two-day class on the biofield, and I'm hoping Patricia will talk about that. They call it the aura, the biofield, the field, energy body. So that's going to be on the 9th and 10th, next Thursday and Friday. We're a research center. We stick a microphone in front of your face, and we see what's going on in your life. You'll hear more and more about it as Pfizer and MIT and a lot of other people have picked up on what we've been doing for the last 30 years. We're just now stepping our foot out into the real world. We just had this horrendous election, and we followed that election along, and we saw people getting up and taking notice and caring and having perceptions about what's going on in their lives. So we put out a lot of information about that. But we are going to be switching gears a bit because, frankly, I'm just tired of the election. I'm tired of the lying. I'm tired of people trying to run my life. And I think there's two times when you should be able to do what you want. In the bathroom, and when you die. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Richard. He always has very nice, wonderful environmental announcements.
Well, today it won't be so warm and fuzzy, but it will be environmental announcements. I will remind everybody here, now that we're listening at Blog Talk Radio and for people listening in replay, that you, after this show, there will be information from Patricia, because I know her work and read her book, that you're going to want to listen to. And you can do that by going to soundhealthoptions.com, click on the radio tab, and then click on the radio archives tab, and the top last five shows will be there. And also, I would suggest strongly, really ask you guys to go to blogtalkradio.com/Sherry Edwards and sign up for Blog Talk Radio. It's free. They don't spam you. They don't, you know, do anything bad or mean. And sign up and follow Sherry's show, because this allows us to get better rankings at Blog Talk Radio. And it's really handy because you'll get notifications of the show. You can set it up if you wanted a day before or an hour before or whatever, with the show description and the link directly to the show. And then also you can join the chat and have quite a jolly amount of conversation with us backstage there. And the other thing I would suggest is that the other vehicle, such as like, let's say Stitcher.com, which is a cross-platform, meaning that you can listen to it either on your iPhone or an Android phone, as well as online. It's a podcast aggregator, meaning you can gather various shows that you want to listen there. And the great thing about Stitcher is that you can easily then send that show on to somebody else. If you hear a show that you think, wow, this is great, you just tap on a button and you send it, you email it right off to somebody. So Stitcher is a really good free platform.
I would like to make a correction. It's not the Sherry Edwards show, it's the Sherry and Richard show.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. All right. I'm going to do sort of a lightning round announcements about environmental actions, I guess I would call them. Since Trump handed the pen to the CEO of Dow Chemicals after signing the regulations to slash whatever they're slashing, some of the things that have occurred, these are facts. These are information that are come based on what they're doing now, what they have done, especially with the ever so amazing Scott Pruitt in office, who's the EPA guy. They are gutting funding for the NASA climate science satellites. So that means that we don't, I guess their theory is, if you don't know it, it doesn't exist, which is an interesting dimensional shift if I thought they were thinking dimensionally. So they're going to gut funding for the NASA's climate satellites. So that means we'll no longer be monitoring climate change. They're slashing by 97% funding toward the work that has been ongoing for water cleanup for bodies of water such as Lake Michigan, the Great Lakes, San Francisco Bay, Chesapeake Bay, and other large bodies of water in the U.S. They're slashing that by 97%. So we don't have to clean up those lakes anymore, I guess, even though we've just been beginning to see some really positive results from years of doing that. They're going to drastically cut the funds for water quality compliance. And that is meaning that so when something like Flint, Michigan happens, there will be even less funding toward being able to know about that or alert or do any research. And a lot of this leads to, since they're zeroing out the environmental justice program, so that means that there will be no real defense for any actions in regards to the environment. And they're cutting the budget for environmental education by 88%. So I guess we just don't need to know about the environment. As you all know, that's so not my opinion. And for bonus points, we're going to be increasing military spending by $54 billion. As a result of, you know, all this slashing. So we're going to be building up the war machine. And for just really a big bonus round, Trump announced that the Keystone pipeline will be exempt from Buy American requirements, which is, as we know, has certainly been Buy American, Do American, all that. But he's exempting Keystone pipeline for requirements to Buy American steel, And to further drive that point home, research is showing that more than 40% of that steel will be delivered by Russian steel mills. So, those are my announcements.
Are you going to put those in the show notes?
Yes, I will. Yep, as much as possible.
Okay.
Okay, now, let's get to something much more fun, talking about death with Patricia Ladara, at least in my realm. Sorry. Well, no, I mean, it's really, you know, it's a subject that I have a great deal of passion about. So, I mean, it is, it's an amazing thing. So to introduce Patricia, as a Soul Passage midwife, Patricia Ladara brings words of wisdom to ease hearts and open minds about the ultimate spiritual transition is the end of life. Beginning with her mother's passage 23 years ago, Patricia documents many spiritual accounts of souls crossing the threshold. She assists people in embracing the soul's journey of death as birth, death as celebration, and death as sacred transformation. Patricia's life experience prepared her for and deeply informs the Soul Passage work. Her original career path of teaching in higher education came to an abrupt halt from catastrophic illness. This thrust her onto the path of seeking wholeness, which ultimately led to the steps of bioacoustics with Sherry Edwards. This work has saved her life many times and is her wellness care today. Understanding death as change of frequency is a natural outgrowth of this study. Patricia came to the work of death and dying when her mother passed in October of 1993. Prior to that time, she'd never been in a room with anyone crossing the threshold. Death holds within its walls the possibility of utter despair and ecstatic celebration. Patricia joins us today to talk about her new book, Song of Sight, An Introduction to Soul Passage Midwifery. Good morning, Patricia.
Good morning, Richard, and good morning, Sherry, and good morning, wonderful listeners. Thank you for having me. It's just really lovely to be here, and Sherry and Richard, I have to thank you before we get started for all of the work you're doing with the radio show. Charting the waters of the territory now is so complex and overwhelming to many of us that it's lovely to have a place to turn to where we can help sort things out and glean wisdom and try to figure out how we each are going to go forward and how we each in our own individual ways can contribute. And you definitely help point the way, so thank you for that.
Thank you. I have
go ahead.
Go ahead, Sherry.
That is so sweet. We seldom get praise most of the time. It's complaints.
Really? Well, good. You can hold on.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
I have an odd opening question for you, Patricia.
Okay.
Has your work led you to a feeling of why our culture is so fearful and almost shuns death, in my opinion?
Well, I think in many of our opinions, our culture shuns death. It's been in the closet for so, so long. And it's such a sadness because it does help to inform life in so many ways. And it behooves us as spiritual beings having a physical experience to be prepared because we don't know when we're going to go. And we're going to something so beautiful. So why this has happened, you know, Eckhart Tolle really points to the shattering of the feminine principle for much of our spiritual or lack of spiritual awareness surrounding many things, and that would be death included. The good news is, I mean, I think we've gotten the farthest point away from being close to spirit that we can possibly get, and now we're on a return journey. You know, there are sacred teachings that say it's a cyclical process, and at points in our history, we are definitely farther away, and at points in our history, we are definitely closer. So we've gotten the farthest away that we can go, and now we're on that return. So it should be beginning to build and return into being a part of our everyday lives, not as something that we sort of do as a sidelight, so to speak, but that it is a genuine part of our everyday life and it informs our everyday life.
Well, it makes me think that part of my question comes from, I don't know why I bumped into this recently, but I was doing some research on something about Victorian homes. And I grew up on the Monterey Peninsula, and there were a bunch of those sort of the older, what I'll call high-end homes that had been built in the early 1900s, late 1800s on the peninsula. When you'd walk up the stairs, oftentimes there would be a long, narrow living room window. And somewhere along the way, I was doing some research on that and found out that that really came from a time the window was designed that way because that's how, when someone would die, they would bring the person in their casket into their home and have them on display in the home. And there would be it was a wake, but it was also a celebration of like gathering and having food. And really, you know, this was before funeral homes were organized. And it was really an honoring, you know, it was part of the home. You brought the body into the home and you had time with the body as an acknowledgement of the life of that person. And then that changed. And who knows, maybe it's because it became an industry instead of a, you know, that kind of thing. And even being around indigenous cultures, they so acknowledge the death. They have the big ritual around the death, whether they're burning the body like they do in some Eastern cultures or whether they're, you know, but they have some sort of real ceremony that's a long death versus just gathering and crying and then going back to work. Or I don't know. I'm not quite sure what my question is there, but it seems so curious to me that we've stepped away from it so much. And you're really, you're so, what I love about your work is you're so much like, so the opposite of that. You're in the face of it. We're here. Let's go.
Yeah, let's go.
Let's,
we were asleep.
Strap
now
on
we're
your
awake.
Big boy pants. We're going in. You know, it's
that's,
like,
right.
That's a great thing. And how did that? I know too much about you, so I have to back up. And for the listeners, like, how did you get to this point of, okay, we're going in. Let's do this.
Yeah. Well, I think like many of us, I grew up not knowing anything about death. I can remember as a very young child asking questions and people telling me, we don't talk about that. And now I find that just hilarious in so many ways. But I can tell you in experiencing both of my parents' deaths, up until very close to when they were crossing, they would not talk about death. So it was a genuine belief system for a very long time. And I often think that maybe it was superstitious in nature, that if you talked about it, you might be inviting it. So, you know, there were reasons, there are always reasons why people are doing things at any given particular historical moment. And coming to understand that is actually a sweet thing, because we could be very judgmental and say, well, why did you leave us in a lurch? But it isn't that. I mean, people are really doing the best that they can do. And our society has really, you know, hidden death away and put it, whether it's political or power or whatever, we're just not around it and people don't talk about it. So, you know, really my journey began with my mother, and I'm not going to share her whole story because in our last conversation I did share that, and I think that's up on Blog Talk Radio. It's really a very beautiful story.
Mm-hmm.
But before I got to the beauty, when she was preparing to pass and I knew it was coming, I literally broke down sobbing, and nurses came and took me into another room where I was by myself, where I could just sob for however long I wanted. I have no idea how long I was in there. But you know, the feeling that was foremost at that point in time was, why don't I know anything about this? I fully believed with every fiber of my being that I should or could know how to help my mother at this juncture, but I did not. I had had no experience with it. And so I was in there for quite a while, and then finally I just looked up at the heavens and said, please help her. That was my prayer, three words, please help her. So that is always correct to do for your listeners to know. Just ask. You don't have to ask anybody in particular. I did not. And you can plan out a lovely prayer if that is what you would like to do, but you can also just say those three words and spirit will show up. So when I returned to my mother's room, when I left, you know, all I could see was this body and this ravaged woman and a woman who was in just severe, severe pain. It was so unacceptable, but you know, bodies do what they do. So, but when I returned, when I walked back in the room, there was brilliant light. And my mother looked so beautiful. I could hardly breathe. She looked so beautiful. And the flowers were alive. I mean, they weren't just on the windowsill. I mean, they had expanded. Their fields had expanded all across the room, and there was just brilliance everywhere, and they were these angelic beings surrounding my mother. And it was just such a stunning moment, and I think many of us can relate to that torturous place where we just don't know what to do because no one has explained it to us. And knowing that this profound beauty exists and it is accessible to all of us because we are made of that and we come from that. And, you know, if you can liken this to a birth, mothers giving birth go through an awful lot. But the moment they hold that baby in their arms, it doesn't matter what they've been through. The baby is there. The beauty is there. The utter astonishment at this creation is there. And really with death, it is the same thing. And so what I learned is connecting to the soul is the key point here. When I was in despair and did not know what to do, I was seeing through my own eyes, through my own physical eyes. When I stepped back into my mother's room, I was seeing through my soul eyes. And if people can come to death knowing that, well, if you're transitioning yourself, knowing that you're going to shift to your soul perspective, that's the whole process. Or if you are a family, you can be working on trying to see through your soul eyes, and I do outline ways to work on that in this book. It was one of the reasons I wrote it. I said, well, families need to know this. I mean, they need to know that there are things that they can actually do that can help them begin to see through their soul eyes. And spirit meets you. Spirit is there 1,000%. You don't have to wonder if spirit is going to be there. Spirit is there. But I think we have such distance from that we don't really know. Well, am I going to qualify? Is my life okay? Are they just going to let me rot over here in the corner because I took Susie's chewing gum when I was 3? You know, things like that go through your head. It's a really strange thing. And so one of the things I would like to do is share with you a different story, a story about Toby, because I think she was in a place that many of us are when we enter into this. And so when I met Toby on the soul realm, in the spirit realm, she was having a challenging time going, which was why I usually receive a call, because someone is having a difficult time passing. And Toby, when I first met up with her, she was really feeling like she wanted to get out of the hospital, and which is a good thing. She was going to get out of the hospital, just not the way she had or her family had hoped. So I met her on the soul realm, in the spirit world, and I said, well, you know, would you like to go for a walk? And so she said, oh, yes. And so she separated her soul from her body, and we went for a walk. And the very first question she asked me when we got situated was, what is it, meaning death, going to be like? And I looked at her and I said, well, it's going to be just like this. You will meet other beings and you will see your ancestors. And she looked at me and said, you're kidding. And I said, no. And then these words are priceless, I think. She said, so, I am not going to die. I am just going to leave here and go somewhere else. And I said, yes. And then she said, well, why don't they tell people these things? So it's, we, you know, continued walking or doing whatever we were doing. And then she looks at me again and goes, so dying isn't dying. Dying is living. How convoluted can a message get? This is unbelievable. When can I go? She was so excited. And I said, well, whenever you're ready. So she goes, well, I just can't believe this. Thank you. And so when we're returning to the, she decided that she better go back to the hospital room. And I said, okay. Because, you know, really souls have lots of choices throughout their process. They are making choices each step along the way. But it is a moment-by-moment thing. And it's not that when it starts, you can see the whole path. It is revealed as you go along. So we went back to our hospital room, and she's sitting there. Well, she's not sitting there. She's lying down. And all of a sudden, she sits up from her body, and she says, I am just too excited. Let's go. So we took off running. We ran and ran and ran, and it was really a blur. We were running so fast. And then, you know, we collapsed on the ground somewhere and looked around, and the grass was really golden, but yet it was really soft and clearly alive. And so that was interesting. And the sky was really brilliant blue, and there were rolling hills. And she sat up and she said, where are we? This place is magical. And asked me if it was real. And I said, yes. So then we started laughing again. She said, I can't believe this. And so shortly after that, I noticed out from the corner of my eye that there were these bubbles floating. Well, I only saw one bubble floating along the air, and then it touched down right next to Toby. And out stepped a female being. And Toby recognized her, and they had a big hug, and they were just thrilled to see one another. And then in another moment, there were hundreds of bubbles coming across the silent sky. I mean, absolute silence. And silence doesn't even explain it. But silence here is not like silence there. Silence there is deeper and more pure, and there just isn't any explaining it. But hundreds of them crossing the sky, and as they each touched down, another being stepped out and embraced her until they just became a swirl of color and laughter, at which point I laughed. So Toby's questions, I think, are really germane here. I mean, we think we're, you know, the word annihilation comes up. We seem to think that we are going to be annihilated, and that is a travesty, and that is a direct result of of not keeping our spiritual roots alive in a meaningful way. Now, you know, religions are here, there's access to things, things are here, but they're not answering very fundamental questions. So I think the imperative here is to really look deeply within ourselves to see what we believe and to begin to come to terms with it, because you know, we're either going to come to terms with it before we die or during the passage or after we die. And I say die in quotes because there really is no death. And so why not do it now, in my mind? And truly, in my own birth family, we had the extremes of what it can be. Like, I went through, my mother went through the terror, and she was not afraid of actually going to the other side. What she was afraid of was between here and there, this actual bridge, this little fragment. It's an incredibly important interlude. And I wasn't afraid for her to be on the other side either. I had no concern about that either, but she was in dire pain, and I wanted to be able to help her. And that's fundamental. We want to be able to help our loved ones, and we can. Not in the ways that we maybe were expecting, but in other ways. And even though we feel lost in many, many ways, we are really good learners, and we can learn, and we can do this in a different way. And then from another perspective, you know, my older brother, after my mother died, he drank himself to death. And even though that had been something, you know, he had been drinking and he'd gone in and out of detox, and that was, after my parents died, he just went into full-blown drinking nonstop until he was gone. And I had a really difficult time coming to terms with that. So his reaction was totally the opposite of what, you know, and I had this brilliant awakening. So that's what's available at this time. And so in my mind, what are we going to choose? I mean, we have an opportunity to see through different eyes and to learn a great deal about ourselves and our world and our spiritual roots and however you want to frame that, or to leave it up for grabs.
So
go ahead.
You touched on something a minute ago that I've heard before, that everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die to get
right there. Yeah.
Can you talk about that transition period, what it looks like? And we have several other questions coming in from our audience about what is the difference between being dead and alive, and what's the difference in this reality and that transition in the next reality? Well, that's a lot of questions. So
it's a lot of questions. You know, when you connect with your soul, it is definitely like meeting someone that you have known forever. And it is more of who you are than your personality and your body in this life. Once you meet your soul, you can see very clearly that this life is temporary. When we're seeing through the physical eyes, you know, we're standing between life and death. When you're seeing through your soul eyes, you're standing between worlds. You understand that we are multidimensional beings. You understand that we have lots of choices and options. You understand that we are spiritual beings at our core, and our ultimate journey may be to become reabsorbed by the all. But between here and there, we are free to travel for however long we're like. And so it's not, you know, when you become that essence, you are still a discernible being. At some point, you may become less discernible, but for most people that are passing between here and the next realm, their ancestors are going to meet them. Your mom or your dad or your grandpa will be there. And so you can see these beings, and they look like they used to look, and you know, usually younger. And the passage between here and there, this critical juncture, is just like what I explained with Toby. You leave your body and you walk somewhere else. It is as simple as that. And the door to get there is in your heart. So what I really actually am telling people now is to first focus on your breath, because we are such a mental society, we've got to get out of the mental realm. And so focus on your breath and then move into your heart. And truly, if you breathe into your heart, it will expand of its own accord. And then what you are doing is changing frequency. You are stepping, I mean, you can envision it as a rainbow. I love the circular rainbow because it has different colors and different places of pause between each color. And that gives a visual representation of change in vibration, because your vibration is becoming finer and finer. So if you can envision stepping through that, and that angelic beings are there at each juncture to be sure that you make it through each juncture correctly. And you indeed won't go until you are at the correct frequency. And I think that's really what death is. It's preparing you. The whole process of the body shutting down is realigning with a different frequency. And when you are in alignment with that frequency, you can make the transition simply. So it is really a step across, you know, what we could call many thresholds, making up the one threshold, but change in frequency. And Yogananda calls this holding the presence, that we envision an angelic being at each change of the threshold, because our change in vibration, because they are here to serve humanity, and they indeed do that rather brilliantly. So you're in your heart, and you expand out. And if you can experience it, well, one of the things I really believe is that if you can work on it while you're here, and there are many ways to do that out in nature or through meditation and Tai Chi and things like that, yoga, if you can experience that expanding process while you're here in the physical body, then when you come to death, you already know about that. So you're not grappling with your belief system so much, number one. You're not grappling with the process of expanding. You are grappling with the closing down of the body, and that seems like a tall order in and of itself. So trying to do it all at once really feels overwhelming. So it behooves us to actually do it now, I think.
You said we have the same body pretty nearly. Is it the same place? Does it look the same other than these bubble balls? Is there a heaven? Is there a hell? Is there a transition place? What does that look like?
Okay. The heaven and hell thing is kind of a challenging thing to answer, because many people clearly are brought up with that. So let's start start with. Number one, you do have a being that is recognizable. It is not as solid looking as this. It is a light body, so it's more wispy, might be a term. Things feel solid here. In the greater world, they don't feel solid. In terms of a transition place, that is individual for every single being. Spirit comes to meet you where you are. We don't go to some big hall, okay, here's the transition center. It is not like that. Everything is individual. And Sherry, you know how you teach that every voice print is individual and unique. It is just like that. Every being is individual and unique, and spirit meets you at a place. So your ancestors will come to you, or angelic beings will come to you, or all of the above will come to you, or some other being will come to you. You will meet somebody, but they will meet you. You don't have to try to figure out. You're never in a place where you have to try to figure out where to go. You will have decisions to make each step of the way. But you don't have to try to figure out your arrival point. That comes to you. And I have seen people, like people who, well, for instance, my brother who drank so much, you know, he caused a lot of harm in doing that. He was in really severe pain, and of course, our hearts ached for him. But along the way, because of this drinking, he did a lot of unkind things. So he was definitely in need of healing. So, you know, angelic beings took him to some place other than where someone else who hasn't had that problem might go. And he worked on his healing for a long time. And really, when he was whole, he came back to let me know that he was whole and things were good. And that was really beautiful. Now, I'm certain that at some point he will again have a life that allows him to use his new skill in a more balanced way, and not go through that drinking. I think the healing was to help him move beyond that, and then he'll have an opportunity to return and do things differently. If you are, the Christ met my mother. If you have a religious tradition, spiritual beings take this very seriously. They don't just go, well, you know, I'm not in the mood today. They are there. They are there 1,000% to meet you and to show you where you need to go. And so if you have a tradition or if you have a meditation practice and beings have said they will be there, they will be there. The only experience I've had with anything having to do with the hell realm was with a friend's mom who here was having difficulty passing, and they called, and so I was with her for, you know, quite a while, just helping her to adjust to different things. And she at one point looked at my soul and said, I am going to go through the 9 hells. And, of course, me, Patricia, I'm like, well, what is that? And my soul was very clear. She looked directly at her and she said, that is not required of you. And then my friend's mother said, I'm going to go anyway. So this is what I mean about choices. I mean, there are things that you as a soul may really feel you want to do, even if you get advice against it. And so then my soul looked at her and said, okay, well, then I will go with you. And so my soul's role was to accompany her through these 9 hells. I could not interfere in any way. but if she got stuck somehow, I could help her get out. And what I remember of it, I don't remember the nine hells. Spirit did not want me to recollect that and cleared that memory. But what I remember going through the night was how challenging it was for this soul. Her name was Violet, and she met every challenge brilliantly and with great love, and that was her task, and she did it. And then when she came out on the other side, I mean, it was just such a celebration. She was so thrilled. So that was a self-challenge. So sometimes I feel like really anything akin to the hell realm just has to do with self-challenge. And perhaps that's what we're doing here on this earth. We are challenging ourselves to see, you know, how we can figure out how to negotiate these different paths. And finally, when Violet was, she came to me and said, I now am complete. And she said, I went through the nine hells to remember the faces of those who would deceive me. So in some way, she had a knowledge of that before she came here, but she got lost and ended up being deceived by people that she didn't expect, but she'll get another opportunity. So it goes on. So that's the most I can say about the hell realm. I hope it sort of opens up. It gives us a different way to think about it as a self-challenge.
Well, it seems kind of, to me, it has always seemed, I would have a friend who would talk about, you know, life as being a movie. And it seems that, you know, death is no different. You know, we all choose the kind of movie we want to see, and choice is a loosely used term. And maybe it's not made on that. Maybe it's not made on a, like, I like happy movies, or I like, you know, like this Violet chose to go through the hell realms. Her intention went toward going through the hell realms, and maybe her soul was gathering some information from that experience. Who knows?
It was definitely doing that. Yes.
Yeah. So we all choose our movies. I'm not saying it's easy. I've been with, you know, I was with my mother when she died. I was the guy that she, when she went into ICU because she was dying of metastasized cancer, I was the person that she put in charge, in the sense of, like, don't ask me any more questions. And my job, part of my, you know, movie, was to be there with my mother and support and advocate for her and to make sure that she was as comfortable as possible.
Right.
And be with her at any time when she was thrashing about, not so much physically, but structure, you know, more mentally, that I would be with her and we would hold hands. And she wasn't really able to talk because she was too drugged. But she would always, you know, reach out when she wanted to be at, feel the grounding of me being with her, being at ease. I mean, it was my mother. My mother was dying. I was, you know, deeply moved by that, but something happened and maybe my soul stepped up and went, hey, I know what to do here, you just sit there. I, you know, it was always an amazing thing to me. However, I think everybody can choose a different movie, because I was going to say, in a certain way, it seems like what you do as a soul passage midwife is kind of like the ultimate form of improv. You know, you show up on stage, somebody throws you some lines, and you go, okay, here's the scene. I mean, it's an amazing experience, what you do.
It is, and improv is a good term. You know, I have this dance background, and I remember absolutely thinking when I was in process with my mother that, oh, I see, this is an improvisation. I actually had that thought. And so, you know, that's another thing. If people want to prepare ahead instead of watching TV and listening to the news, do something creative. Be in nature, but something creative does not have to be in the theater. I mean, anything. You know, if you're in hospice and you want to do something creative, you know, try to write a poem or try to, you know, just something that will stimulate that part of your being. is a much better use of your time than watching TV. So I encourage that very, very much. And that's something else that is has not been that highly regarded in our culture. Look at that.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
You know, when I was young, the arts weren't in school at all. If you had a music program, it was the first thing to go if there was any budgetary question whatsoever. And I think it's a little more accessible now, but it's not as highly regarded as academia. And that's not to say that academia isn't important, education is important. We do need to do that, but not at the expense of this other awareness and these other gifts that we also bring with us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I have a sort of a side... It's part of this conversation. I have it in my notes here, and it's been floating in my brain. In your experiences, what is it that is so different on the other side that it's so calm and at ease over there? So that's a separation
yeah.
from the death experience that people are having. But when you transition, when they get to the other side, there's a sudden like deep release of a breath, and you're like, oh wow, is it, you know,
cool
is not quite the right word, but you know, it's like there's a deep sigh of like, oh my, the tension is all gone.
It is. It's kind of interesting. Yes, well, you know, everything over there operates on universal principle, and everything over there, you are one with everything. You don't, there is no question but that you are a highly regarded, necessary part of creation. And here, you know, we really are dealing with a personality and an ego. There, those things aren't, you know, souls are one with creation. They understand at a very deep level that how things operate and what is needed. And still, people are working over there trying to, you know, get to the next level or do the next thing or contribute in a way. And so we do have that, but it's not from the egoic perspective at all. It's a, you know, I don't even have to really ask for help if I need help when I'm taking someone across. I mean, there are times when angels just appear. They see that. I mean, I always invite them. I mean, I say a prayer before every passage and invite them to come, but a lot of times we may not see them until they're actually welcoming the soul. We go through a lot until we get there. We'll be walking or, you know, upstairs or downstairs or across paths or through the forest or whatever, and talking and working on changing that vibration. But there are times when I can remember Townsend, who was just so extremely terrified. He had no belief system whatsoever that included spirit, and he was floating on the top of his ceiling, and he indeed had hit his neck on the back of the ceiling, and he was just hanging there paralyzed because he couldn't even know what it was. But he was a really a soul who was really exhausted and drained, and Archangel Azrael was with me the entire way because we had to actually hold his soul up to make the journey because he was so depleted. He needed help until his vibration had fully changed, and then he was, you know, it was fine. But things happen because there is a need. And beings just know, and they offer their service. here, it almost feels like we have to beg for things that are needed at times.
You touched on how this affects the person in transition. Could you speak a little bit about the people who are left behind? Because from what I could feel of your voice, you took great comfort in your brother coming to you and saying, okay, they've taught me this, I've gone through these lessons, everything's okay now.
Yes, I think it's a wonderful thing. We do want to know that our loved ones are okay. That's our primary concern, believe it or not. I think a lot of the grief that we hold is because, you know, we're really asked to have this faith that something positive has happened without any real proof. And once you engage these realms, the proof is there. You know without a doubt, and I call it the knowing. You have the knowing, and you don't have to worry. You know your loved ones are cared for, whether you went with them the whole way or not. And one of the things that happens with families is I think a lot of people have deeply spiritual experiences at the time of a soul crossing, but they negate them because we are such a mental society. And even my mind did this, you know, with this powerful experience as I had with my mother. You know, the next day, my mind was saying, oh, you just made that up to make yourself feel better. And I could have gone with that. Do you know what I mean? I mean, we're such a mental society that we sort of automatically embrace those thoughts. So, but for me, it was so powerful that I wasn't, you know, I wasn't going to go there. But truly, my mother came back to say thank you on that day. And so even if there was a little bit of thought that well, maybe that's true, maybe I just need to grieve and get on with it. Once she came back to say thank you, that mental stance disappeared. So it is something that we have to grapple with each step of the way. And one of the ways to counterbalance that is to, as you're noticing things that your loved one's going through, you know, loved ones will often say, oh, I saw Aunt Mary. And we discount that. Oh, she's delusional. Okay, she's at the delusional stage now. Well, that's not true. She's in transition. She's embracing the other side. It comes and it goes and comes and it goes, and this side comes and goes and comes and goes until, you know, then you're fully ensconced on the other side. So we need to take those moments and cherish them. I can remember with my mother, there was golden light that I could actually perceive with my physical eyes one day streaming through her window. And it was so powerful, I thought she might just fly out the window. So that's one example. The other example was there was profound peace in her room at time. Well, for the last, you know, many, many hours. There was profound peace in her room. In fact, everybody who stopped, there was so much love in her room and so much love going between us that when people would go to come in her room, they would stop abruptly. It was so, you know, it felt like you were intruding if you even walked in there because it was so beautiful. And everybody noticed that. So things like that, I mean, there are little things. It might be a little thing here or a little thing there. Or you might hear a beautiful hymn in your mind that your mother loved when or used to sing to you when you were a child. And you go, oh, I wonder what that is. But that's spirit trying to, because spirit is very much trying to help the family. So it is a process of noticing and paying attention to these types of things and then embracing them. And as you embrace them, more things can happen. If you slam the door shut, which is so often what happens, then you won't get to feel that. And the other thing is, the thing about Dinesh, you know, my father, before he died, he called me into his room and in the middle of the night and said, "Honey, I can't live with you anymore." And I said, "Really? Where are you going to go, Dad?" And he said, "I'm going to live with God." We could have said, "Oh, he's delusional. He thinks he's going to live with God." I mean, you know, we have to watch how we're taking things in and how we're paying attention. I was thrilled because he was very clearly close to going. And then 3 days before he went, the Christ and Swami Sri Yukteswar and Yogananda, I was downstairs putting laundry in the washer, and those three beings came to me and simply announced, "The time is at hand." So beings will speak to you, and we need to listen. And your loved one will tell you things, and experiences do happen. So embrace those and be just so grateful that that there is a moment by moment map and a way to listen that can help alleviate the huge burden and the huge grief and pain that we go through.
I'd like to end on an up note, but I can't quite get it yet. I think it's the, for me and my experience with my mother and my father, very different experiences, is I would say that it seems like for one of my takeaways from your book is really be open to each moment, it seems like. You can stay in the moment, then you can be available to participate in what's going on versus caught up in the cacophony. Because if you're in a hospital, it's going to be a cacophony.
It is.
Of some kind, either psychically or really. That's, you know...
And we do have to meet those things as well. And so what I've learned from this is, okay, you know the things that have to be done when you're in the hospital, the types of things. So you prepare yourself. Okay, I'm going to help Mom with her pillows. I'm going to bring her this. I'm going to put this over here and do this. And you just know, okay, those things I'll do as they come to me. So that is moment by moment, too. You just have a better idea of what they might be. Mm-hmm. The other moment by moment process is, of course, the spiritual realm. And you don't know that ahead. You know it as it presents itself. But just even knowing that is a huge piece of the puzzle. Don't you think? Because when you can then... Oh, thank goodness you're here. Oh, I see you're here. Oh, thank you. Keep saying thank you and keep listening and allowing it to unfold.
Mm-hmm.
You wanted to end on an up note, and I have one, I think.
Excellent.
Because there's so many things that went unanswered, so many questions people had about reincarnation and about how this happened in ancient times and are people aware of ghosts, and there's so much. So the up note is, buy Patricia's book. The answers are in there.
Oh, thank you.
Can they get this at Amazon?
There are a lot of things in there. They might not answer all of your questions, but, you know, and there are other books out about these types of things now too. And so, you know, commit to educating yourselves. It's a powerful topic, a powerful time, and we can meet it. We can meet it with equanimity.
And where would you like people to find your book and find more about you?
Oh, you can go to my website at soulpassagemidwife.com. And if you'd like to order the book from there, there's a, you know, there's a button that says book, and you press on that, and then there's a button where you can push it and purchase the book. You can also go to lulu.com, and there are lots of other authors there that you will find, and my book is up there.
Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you, Sherry.
You.
That was a great up note. That was a great up note. Thank you.
Thank you for being here, Patricia. We'll stay in touch.
We will. Thank you so much, Sherry.
Yes,
take
thank
good
you,
care,
Sherry.
All of you.
That
thank
was great,
you,
Patricia. Thank you.
Well, thank you. It's been a deep honor to be here.
Thank
take
you.
Take good care, everyone.
All right, everybody. Bye-bye. Have a great rest of the weekend. We'll see you on Tuesday. Bye-bye.
Tuesday, we're going to be talking about the life force, the biofield, the same thing. Please be with us.